Happy fourth, everyone, and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. Their only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Joe to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, preparing only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholic and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you so much, Joe. Today we will hear a talk on step two. Step two came, we believe that, okay, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Sorry about that. Please give a warm welcome to Wendy S. from Manalapan, New Jersey. Welcome, Wendy.
Hi, my name is Wendy. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 6, 1992. I have a home group in New Jersey called Practice These Principles. They meet on Thursday night at 7:30. It's a big book study group. And I have a sponsor. She has a sponsor, and I sponsor other women. Hang on. My glasses are dirty, and so you guys are on me. So my journey into AA is a little different than most. In the beginning, when I came in here, I didn't want to share my journey because it was totally different and I was embarrassed. But I have when you figure it out, 31, I celebrated 31 years of sobriety. And I hid out in other 12-step rooms for 19 years of those 31. I have been separated from alcohol for 31 years. I have not had a drink, but I was a mess when I came in here. And do not do what I did. That's all I'm telling you. Do not do it. I was a basket case. Actually, it's really interesting. When I came into the rooms of recovery 12 years ago, the rooms of recovery of AA, the gentleman that I first met, I've been hanging out with all those guys for 12 years. They're part of my home group and everything. He actually was the leader this year when I celebrated, and I was the only celebrant. He said, "Oh, good, I'm going to take advantage of being the leader, and I get to share Wendy's first day in AA when she came in to see us." I was that person that came in with drunk dreams. My then OA sponsor was also an AA member. And when I would share with her about how miserable I was and waking up with alcohol tasting in my mouth and poking my husband and asking him if he had drank the night before, he was like, why are you asking me these questions? You know, you haven't had alcohol in however many years it was. It makes no sense to me why you're asking me these questions. I said, because I'm waking up with the taste of alcohol in my mouth and it's disgusting. Like, I can't get the taste out of my mouth. And I was depressed. I was miserable, crying, depressed. I mean, that was all my life anyway. She said I needed to go take care of my drug of choice, which was alcohol. And I needed to go to an AA meeting. So not only was I going to an 8:30 AA meeting, I was going to the meeting after that, which was my not my other 12-step meeting, which was the other 12-step meeting I was hiding out in. So he shared. I love when he shares about me, because when I came in, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. And I don't know how I am, other than I'm miserable. And he tells the story that they thought I would be better off if I had gone out drinking than who I was when I walked into the rooms of AA. And I was determined not to do that, because my ego said, you've come this far, no matter how miserable or how many relationships you've ruined without a drink. All I wanted was my 20-year coin. That's it. I wanted that 20-year coin that said I've been separated from alcohol for 20 years. I didn't care that I was irritable, restless, and discontent. Sure, I've worked other fourth steps in other 12-step programs. But I shared the other day, only 12-step program that has worked for me and changed me from being who I was is AA. That's it. Step two says, came to believe in a power greater than myself. Well, when I came in here, the only person I thought about was me. I was so self-reliant when I came in here, there was no room for God. Although when you looked in my house, I had the Serenity Prayer all over my house. I don't think I even knew how to use the Serenity Prayer when I came in here. I had to, my first assignment was to identify my higher power. Well, something had to be keeping me sober or removed from alcohol for 19 years. And it wasn't me, because I was a mess. So it had to have been something greater than me. So when I was writing my assignment and I'm looking around my house, angels were everywhere, everywhere. I had those statues. I had angel sayings. So I decided, because I couldn't believe in a God, I didn't have a God in my understanding at that time. And in step two, it doesn't say anything about God. It says a higher power, if I remember that correctly, right? So let me just go on my phone here. We came to be aware that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, I had no sanity when I came in here. My relationship with my mom was, she was in the other 12-step program with me at the time. She brought me in 30 years. Well, now it's over 30 years ago, for the first time. And she was brought, she came back in with me 12, 13 years ago. So we've always done a 12-step program together. But I don't know that we either one of us had an understanding of a higher power. We had a religious God growing up. And I'll share just a funny tidbit. I grew up Jewish, and when I was growing up until fifth grade, I guess you would call us reform. I mean, when I went to a Jewish community center, I went to Hebrew school, whatever. And in fifth grade, I guess I'm 10, we moved to New Jersey into a brand new house. Fifth grade, right? 10 years old. All I can picture as I'm moving out of my home in Brooklyn is this big pot, because my mother has decided we are now going to be kosher in this new home. And everything changes. We are now conservadox. We're religious in this brand new home. And this big pot in our home in Brooklyn is now hot water, rabbi standing over it, and he's now koshering all our utensils and anything that needs, that can be koshered into this new home, and we're becoming religious. So from fifth grade on, I become a religious Jew. We celebrate the Sabbath, we have kosher home. And I, up until about a year ago, I'm 61 now, okay, so at 60, asked my mother why we became religious because we got a new home. So my understanding was, because we got a new home, we had to become religious and kosher. That wasn't the case. So I got straightened out by my mother. But here I am coming in here to a spiritual program, and I am totally against this religious God that I was growing up with. That I am more spiritual today because of AA than I am religious. I don't even celebrate the holidays. That's another story, but that's besides the point. So when I come in here, I have an understanding of angels. My higher power are angels. I believe in them. I feel them around me. I collect the angel pins. There are people that have known me all this time, and they know me as the angel lady, because I would give out the angel pins to newcomers and tell them, here, if you don't have a higher power, grab onto an angel pin. I could feel, touch it. I was able to, I couldn't feel and touch anything other than an angel. And that's what I went with. So the people that I met that first day told me I had to get a home group, had to get a women's network, and get a sponsor. All right, so I start going on my journey. And it wasn't until I started sitting across the table from someone going through the big book that things started to change for me. And I had to not be afraid of change. So this higher power gradually started entering into my life, because I became honest, open-minded, and willing. So I had to be honest with myself on everything. There was no more little white lies. There was no more being dishonest of anything. It had to change. I had to change everything. I think I started to say the relationship with my mother was pick up the phone, be disrespectful, be rude, screaming at her, yelling at her, hanging up the phone, and then realizing that's not a relationship with my mom. Get in my car. She lived 15 minutes away. Go to her house, apologize, and think everything was going to be okay. And that wasn't. The guys would say to me, you need to start showing up the way God intended you to be. Well, what does that look like? I don't know what that looks like because I've been such a crappy person and a crappy daughter, crappy mom all this time, 19 years of irritable, restless, and discontent. I don't know what any of that looks like. You have to teach me. So I have to ask God to show me what this looks like, or angels, or higher power, whatever you want to call it at that time. And these people that have been there before me have to show me what does it look like, because I don't know. I don't know anything other than what I was shown in my own upbringing, which wasn't very good. It was a dysfunctional family. And slowly but surely, I'm being shown. One thing I didn't do very well was get a woman's network. So when I got my second sponsor, I'm calling her up in my crisis because I was known as crisis person. And I'm trying to get a hold of her and she writes me back. I am showing up as the way God intends me to be. As a sister, a girlfriend, a daughter, or whatever. You need to reach out to women in your network. And my initial reaction to my husband was, I need to find a new sponsor. She's not available for me. And he's like, well, what did she tell you to do? I said, she told me to reach out to women, and I don't have women in my network. I didn't get along with them. I don't like them. And he's like, do you think you need to like follow her direction? Why are you going to change a sponsor again? And he was not one of us. He did not have a program. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll think of somebody. And I really didn't have anybody to call. Like, just text this one woman I knew from my home group. And she's texting me, and I'm interpreting texts as yelling at me. This is a God thing for me as I look back on it. And she then types, she's like, come to in the town she lived in. And then she says, get off the couch and come here now. And I'm like, she's yelling at me. And it wasn't capital letters, but I interpreted what she's writing as she's yelling. That was the first connection I had with a woman in a year and a half to start any kind of friendship, anything. That was not my doing. That is definitely a higher power working in my life that I didn't know what to do. And it was the first time I started understanding how to show up the way God intends me to be. It was just the tip of the iceberg of how to do it. And I started to believe that there was something greater than me in my life that was going to start making me be sane. And I wasn't flying off the handle or doing erratic behaviors. The tools that you guys started teaching me, I wasn't doing them. You guys would give me the little thing, like the arguments that I would get in. You would tell me, take a step back and pause. Well, when you tell people take a step back and pause, you would think that they would just, in their mind, take a step back and pause. Not me. I literally took a step back and I paused. Or I walked out of the room. But one of the things my husband had a problem with was I would literally walk away from a conversation in the middle of a conversation. So that when you gave me that tool, I had to tell him, I'm working on something. If I take a step back, I'm not walking away from you. I am separating myself from this conversation so that I can breathe, pause, and regroup, and I'll come back and we'll talk about it again. Those are not things that I wouldn't do, but these are things of a higher power that started working in my life. It started repairing a relationship with him, with my daughter, with my mom especially, started treating her with respect. So you're looking at over these years, how do you know when you're in self-reliance, God-reliance? How do you know when you're relying on your higher power? It's a difficult thing to look at. Very difficult. And throughout those, I'm going to talk about my recovery time, not the irritable, restless, and discontent time. And it would be a tough, tough situation in the beginning. I never knew where my will was running the show or God's will. So I'm just going to give this. Step three shows me that there's a director, which is God, me as the actor, where I control and I manipulate everybody. I was a major manipulator. I thought I had to have everybody where I wanted them. But when I started believing in step two, that God, my higher power was running the show, I let go of everything. I let go of everything that I didn't want control anymore. And one of my major character defects, and I know I'm jumping all over the place and touching on a whole bunch of different steps, but for me, they're all intertwined. Because if I kept holding on to self-will, which was part of my character defect of control, I was not letting God in or my higher power in at all. And that was one of my downfalls, is that I could not be in the way if God's plan was going to work. In the big book, there's that paragraph of somebody's story on page 417 where it says acceptance. And acceptance is accepting what God's plan is, because only He knows what is going to happen. And it took me a really long time to understand that nothing happens in God's world by accident. And if I accept that it's happening because God wants it to happen, not me, I'm okay. But if I keep looking at things and trying to control what's going on in my world, forget it. That being said, in 2015, my husband got diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. And a gentleman that I met in the rooms before all of a sudden showed up at my meeting and said to me, "You are going through this because this is the right timing. You're ready to handle this. God has prepared you all this time, and now you can handle this." And I went, "Okay, whatever you say." And I was very, very angry at God. And it took me a while, a lot of prayer, sponsor work. And if I wasn't in a good place in step two, I would not have been able to turn it over and not be mad at God anymore, but be mad at the disease. I will not take you on that journey, but I will tell you, I was able to turn it over and let His higher power work in His world. He was still coherent. He was able to take care of himself. Did I like what he was doing? No. Did I like how he was caring about himself? No. Did it get to a point where I wanted him to take care of the other part of the cancer? He decided he wanted to walk instead. And in 2017, he wound up passing. However, my higher power took care of me during that time, because I had to change my role as his wife to caretaker. And that's where my higher power took care of me and kept me focused on my recovery, my network. One of the men in my network popped up. I didn't even know this guy. I'd met him a couple of times, and his face just like popped into my head, because I needed someone to help me with the wheelchair and whatever. And I only knew him by his first name. His phone number wasn't in my phone. I called one of my network and I'm like, can I have his number? And the guy was retired. He was able to come over and help me. He and my husband hit it off, and the guy helped me take him to doctor's appointments, blah, blah, blah. While he was in, while we were in the end stages of this, I guess I texted this guy, and he showed up at the hospital. This guy is not warm and fuzzy at all. Like, there's no warmth, no love, nothing. And he shows up at the hospital, and I'm in tears, and I'm like, why are you here? He says, you just texted me. I'm like, I can't. Like, yeah, and I was like praying for God, so someone come to me. He's like, come out here, let's talk. So I went out in the hallway and I'm talking to him, and he's like, look, you're going to go through this sober. You're going to go through this journey. You're going to be have an experience with this, that you're going to be able to share it with somebody else as a sober woman, whatever happens. And I was like, yeah, okay. But could God have sent me somebody with a little more love and warmth and huggy stuff? And, you know, whatever he did, he gave me my message. He gave me the message I needed to have. And I think like 6 months later, I was out with the girls, and a new young lady, I don't know, maybe 4 months sober, came in. And she had come in because her boyfriend had passed away. And I became sponsoring her with my experience from that. That's a higher power moment for me, because I did not have a thought of a drink at that time, and it never dawned on me that now's a good time to start drinking because my husband was passing. But I did it the best I could with what I had. I've never gone through this before. I come to find out later on, I was not a good grieving widow. I was not atypical. I did go to a grieving class, and everything they told you in the grieving class of what you weren't supposed to do, I did. So one of the guys said, but I thought you weren't supposed to X, Y, and Z. I said, do not use me as the example. So I was not a typical whatever, but I have a higher power that kept me going, kept me and my daughter great. Within 3 hours of it happening, my little core women network were in my home for me and my daughter. I was never left alone. My higher power was there. My people were there. They took care of me and my daughter. My job took very good care of me. I had only started with them 3 months before. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I had started with them a year before, and they took very good care of me. Let me take off, whatever. Those are God jobs. You know, I didn't pick that job, but God presented it to me. I was out of work for like a year and a half before that job showed up. But I get to look at those things as God being present in my life. And I'm using the word God because over the years of working my 12 steps, I kept having spiritual experiences with the angels are still part of my life. They're all over my house. Kim can tell you that. And I have changed my belief in a higher power, that I have a spiritual God today that is not religious. And it comes from within me. And I have peace and serenity. That if I don't show up the way God intends me to be, I'm off the beam. And if I fall off the beam, I'm not showing up the way I need to. My relationships have been repaired. My mom is 84 today. And we have the best relationship. When she watched me go through my steps, she actually asked me, told me that she wanted to go through, like I said, she's not in this 12-step program. She's in another one, but she wanted to go through the 12 steps of AA. And I found her a young man at the time. He was 18. She was in her 70s in Florida, and he took her through the 12 steps of AA. And we just have a beautiful relationship. My 29-year-old daughter will be 30 next month. Relationship with her. She will call me out on my stuff, and she will say to me, your behavior is not what it should be. You're acting like you were before you went into AA. You better go call somebody in your network or something. And that's just what God has presented to me today. And I am thrilled that I can see that today and see the gifts and the blessings that I get because I have a higher power in my life. And am I restored to sanity? Absolutely not. But I'm saner than I was before. I am saner. I am more sane today than I was when I walked into the rooms of AA 12 years ago. And thanks for letting me share.